Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. As we mentioned just before the break, documents released by the Federal Department of Homeland Security today show that the Trump administration is planning to expand the number of immigrants targeted for deportation. The document suggests that any immigrant living in the U.S. illegally who's been charged or convicted of any crime will be an enforcement priority, and that would include crimes such as shoplifting and traffic offenses. Among those who've been pushing back against some of the White House policies are some higher education leaders, including UMass President Marty Meehan, who joins us in studio. Welcome.
Deborah, great to be here.
So the Department of Homeland Security's new guidance rules that were issued today about implementing executive orders. Those documents call for hiring more immigration agents and prioritizing deportation. But apparently the Obama administration's program for people brought to the U.S. illegally as children would remain in place. So what's your initial reaction to that?
Well, I'm certainly glad that it appears that that policy that the Obama administration had will stay the same. But my reaction is that you're still creating an environment that on many of our campuses at UMass, in fact, all of our campuses, students who are trying to get an education, better their lives, achieve their full potential, feel threatened. And these kinds of policies, I think, are not good for American universities. In fact, many of our students come to us from other parts of the world, other countries, and I think it's creating an environment that's going to make it very difficult for those of us in higher education.
Yeah. What are you seeing on campus right now? I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty among a lot of different populations. Are you seeing that at UMass?
Yes, we are. Anxiety. I'm seeing that many of our students, and if you look at it, approximately 10,000 of our students are international students, if you count undergraduate and graduate students. We recruit faculty from all over the world, and faculty are concerned about it. An environment's been created. As a matter of fact, when the president's first order went into effect, we had two faculty members from UMass Dartmouth that were attending an academic conference in France, and they were detained at Logan Airport. And that's one of the reasons why we joined with Attorney General Maura Healey in her suit. So I think that we're creating an environment that that has our campuses nervous, concerned, and I think that will continue with this policy.
Have there been others affected, aside from the researchers you mentioned, who are part of the legal action?
Well, we have, and the seven countries are identified, we have 320 students from those countries and approximately 167 faculty and staff. So basically, until the order, they were, you know, they really couldn't travel without jeopardizing their status. So it affected them directly. But also, when you are recruiting faculty from all over the world and recruiting students from all over the world, these types of policies make it cause anxiety, but also will negative the impact of attracting the best world class faculty that we can from around the world.
What do you say to the folks who say, but you know what? This is what President Trump promised to do. This is what we wanted him to do. This is why people brought him into office, for him to take, you know, bold steps toward immigration reform, and the system needs to be reformed. What do you say to that?
Well, we'll have to see how this is implemented, but it seems to me that students who are attending American universities trying to better their lives. I just want to see an environment where we protect those students, and I also want to continue. The University of Massachusetts is now, we do over $630 million worth of research. The reason why we've dramatically increased the impact of our research is because we recruit world-class people from all over the world. We collaborate with other universities in other countries, and I hope that Washington keeps this in mind. And by the way, I would also hope that we'd get real immigration reform. This notion that you can take anyone who's undocumented in the country and somehow put them on a bus or put them in planes and somehow that you're going to get rid of them is nonsense. So I think a more realistic policy would make more sense to me, and I'm hopeful that Democrats and Republicans alike in Washington can get together on this issue.
You know, I came across an op-ed in the Washington Post recently, which argues that academics played a part in fueling working class anger, which led to Donald Trump's election. And the writer of this op-ed, Jeffrey Salengo, argues that colleges became less focused on getting students from all income levels and more focused on prestige. And so, he says, colleges became more selective, less economically diverse, and that led to a lot of anger, and particularly at folks known as the elites. Do you think that colleges are becoming too elite, and it's really causing somewhat of a class divide here that may be what we're witnessing?
I think that may be true at some colleges and universities, some elite institutions, for example. But the University of Massachusetts, if you go to UMass Boston, you'll see that nearly half of the students there are first generation, first in their families to graduate or to attend college. You see it at all of our campuses, the income levels of people that come to the University of Massachusetts, and frankly, public research universities in the country is still very, very diverse. But I will admit, I would watch programs like Meet the Press and This Week, and they would analyze polls during the political campaign, and they would make it a point to say that non-educated people are for Trump by this margin or that margin. And I think there was a backlash there, to be honest with you. I think people, particularly those people in the middle of the country, were offended by that. They're offended by maybe academic institutions, offended by what they consider to be the media, the elite media. So I think there has been backlash. But what it really is about, I think, is people are frustrated that that the next generation doesn't seem to be doing as well as the previous generation in terms of the economy, in terms of jobs, in terms of people's lot in life. I do know this, though, Deb. In any way you look at it, a college education increases the likelihood that someone will be able to get a job at a higher salary and be able to achieve their full potential. So I think the answer to working class families across this country is still to get a high quality education that will enable them to get a job to make better lives for them and their families.
Hmm. But it's still an issue of affordability. You know, affordability is an issue for a lot of folks. I think full-time undergraduate tuition and fees for in-state residents at UMass Boston's, what about $13,000 a year?
About $13,000
a year. And this summer, the UMass Board increased the cost of tuition for the third time in 6 years. So what do you do to make sure that diverse public institutions can remain diverse by keeping them affordable?
Yeah, and that's a challenge. And that means the states are going to have to step up to the plate and provide more financial assistance. You know, I graduated, I'm the first actual president of the University of Massachusetts who was an undergraduate student. And when I was a student at UMass Lowell, the state paid about 88% of the overall budget at UMass Lowell. Today, the state pays about 24%. And in fact, if you look at the cost of education over the last 30 years and factor in inflation, which I think is reasonable, the cost of a UMass education actually hasn't gone up. What has happened is it stayed about the same or slightly gone down. What has shifted is who pays for it. It shifted from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to students and their families, and that's really part of the major challenge. Now, there are some other things that we're doing. We have something called the Commonwealth Compact, where we work with the governor and the community colleges and the state universities to provide what essentially would be a $30,000 to $35,000 four-year degree if somebody attended a community college and then attended one of the UMass campuses. We've developed three-year degree program. So I think we need to constantly be looking at ways that we can reduce the cost, more online programming. But I think in the final analysis, one of the reasons why enrollment has gone up so much at UMass is because more and more people are looking at public research universities like the University of Massachusetts. Because when you compare it, you mentioned $13,800 to go to a UMass campus. BC and BU are at $50,000. Northeastern is at $46,000, $47,000.
Well, so, room and board. And, you know,
well, actually, no. I'm talking without room and board, mm-hmm. With UMass and the numbers for BC and BU. So I think UMass, in spite of the fact that I would like to see the costs come down, is still a pretty good value, and it's part of the reason why increasingly people are turning to the University of Massachusetts. Mm.
You know, I want to just get back to some of the federal policies. Your assessment right now of Education Secretary Betsy DeVos?
Well, I mean, in terms of how she would impact higher education, it's really difficult to tell because all of her experience is really K through 12. So I don't think we've seen any kind of indication of what her perspective would be on higher education generally, or public higher education in particular. I have heard some comments from President Trump relative to interest rates that are charged. I think that's an area where the federal government could do much better. It's unconscionable to think that somebody could get a loan to buy a house and pay less of an interest rate than what we're charging for student loans. Some of the rates are out of control. I would hope that more grant money, Pell Grant money, would be provided to students. But it's, in terms of looking at the new Secretary of Education, it's nearly impossible to tell what her view would be, because she really doesn't have a record on higher education.
Right. And just lastly, as we wrap up here, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing UMass and higher ed over the next 5 years?
I think it's increasingly a competitive business, higher education. Students are increasingly, and families are increasingly looking in a more critical way to look at what the value is, to look at the job prospects if somebody graduates from an institution. So I think it's going to become more challenging, more competitive, but I think UMass is positioned pretty well. Long term, I think what I would like to see happen, excuse me, is I'd like to see colleges and universities find ways to cut the costs, and that's going to be involved utilizing technology more effectively.
So actual training, do you think, in terms of technology?
Training, utilization of online programming, for example. I think all of that will come into play, offering more courses online, blended learning.
Okay. All right. UMass President Marty Meehan, I want to thank you very much for coming
thank
in to talk
much.
With us today. Stay with us. Coming up, amid the federal immigration debate, the family of an Iraqi toddler arrives in Boston so the boy can receive medical treatment. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.